become a member of the Movie Geeks United family. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MovieGeeksUnite, Facebook at facebook.com/MovieGeeksUnited, YouTube at youtube.com/MovieGeeksUnited, or bookmark our website at MovieGeeksUnited.net. And you can also access our entire library of programs, including more than 600 filmmaker interviews, right here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/MovieGeeksUnited. Tuning in to this episode of the Art of Cinematography series from Movie Geeks United. Tonight, we replay an interview we did from 2009 with cinematographer Brian Pearson. Mr. Pearson appeared on our show to discuss his work in one of the earliest 3D horror films, My Bloody Valentine. In addition to My Bloody Valentine, Mr. Pearson has served as cinematographer on films including Drive Angry, Final Destination 5, and American Mary. First of all, in terms of the 3D technology, had you had any experience with the new 3D technology prior to coming on board this film?
Before I started working on Bloody Valentine, I had no experience with 3D technology, so it was quite an intensive prep period, as you can imagine. It's also a digital film, and I had shot some digital, but it was done with the red cameras and another set of cameras called the SI2Ks. And so there was a lot to learn, including the 3D and the digital and all of it together.
And what kind of time frame? The cinematographer is usually brought in rather early in an ideal situation, isn't he?
Yeah, I had about 6 weeks of prep ahead of time, and I also went in on my own to Paradise Effects, which is in Van Nuys, California, and spent my own time there just getting to know their systems and getting to know the people that we'd be working with and collaborating with on this project, and spent quite a bit of time with them. The problem being, of course, that the rigs that we ended up using on the film weren't ready until about a day before we started shooting.
Oh.
it's very new technology at
right.
the time, and certainly even as we were shooting, there's a lot of R&D going on and just some changes to the various rigs.
Let's talk about the 3D aspect of it first, and then we'll get into the digital technology, because both of these are trends that I think, obviously it's already happening with the digital, but in terms of 3D, I think it's going to be more and more prevalent in films. I understand that the technology is much different and much improved since the olden days, the 3D technology from back then. What's different about it? How is that? I think it's called Real D technology. How does that work exactly?
Well, I saw Friday the 13th 3D in the theater. Was it 1981, early 80s, and it was with the magenta cyan glasses. And I think when you walked out of the theater, you had a 3D experience, but you also had a pretty good headache. those films were shot in 3D with film cameras. They were very cumbersome. Some of the same problems that we have with digital cameras, but the new 3D has a lot of benefits that are different from the way those films were made. First of all, everything is digital, and there's a lot of work in post-production that can be done to converge the 3D so it's much easier to watch. Mm-hmm. And the other benefit we have is that when we shoot on set, we can see the 3D live, and the next day we can also see the 3D in dailies, whereas I think in the past I had to wait for a certain amount of time to be able to project that kind of stuff and to be able to see it. and the cyan magenta glasses are now gone, and they use a polarization method. Real D, and there's also a Dolby Digital, they each have a different method of decoding the 3D into your brain, but I believe the Real D uses polarized lenses so that one eye polarizes out the image that's on the screen, and the other and the right eye sees it, for instance, and then the left eye would see the next image, and it sort of flickered back and forth like that. The Dolby system, I believe, has a shuttered glasses system, so your glasses actually are actively shuttering one eye dark and then the other eye dark back and forth.
But in terms of crafting the look of the film. Now, you talked about Friday the 13th, Part 3, the 3D version of that. Those movies that were made 20, 25, 30 years ago, they really played up on the 3D gimmick, where it was shot particularly for a 3D effect of, you know, whether it's the shark fin coming after you or what have you. Is it a fine line between going with what works for the film itself and bringing out the best of the 3D as a cinematographer and crafting the look and the shots in this?
Well, from the beginning, this film was a real partnership between myself and Patrick Lussier, the director, and he was very intent on not just making the film about 3D gags. He wanted a strong story, terrific actors, and also to let the movie play in this sort of a new immersive 3D environment, as well as pulling out some things out of the screen. I think the gags are typically known as outies, like things that come out at you. And what we found the more we shot is that the 3D isn't about the outies. It's about the whole immersive quality. It puts you in the environment, which I think is even more terrifying than watching something in 2D, where I feel like you're looking at something flat. Whereas in the 3D, if you sit in the right place in the theater, I think you get this really immersive sense of it, so that even the grocery store aisle takes on this incredible 3D quality. And people are saying, you know, what are the 3D moments? Every single moment in this film is a 3D moment because the entire film is shot in 3D. You don't need something poking out of the screen at you to enjoy it. It's there all the time. And every shot, you know, we carefully designed the shots as best we could to have depth and to have an immersive quality. The film takes place in a mine. So already you're dealing with long tunnels that trail away into the distance, you know, light bulbs back and forth here and there that give a real sense of depth. So we were in a terrific environment, and it was a terrific idea to do this particular film in 3D, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly what did you see? Something was following us.
Horrific event this town has ever seen. Authorities are calling this the Valentine's Day Massacre.
In the town of Harmony, something unexplainable.
Hello?
Is happening.
Come here, you better check this out.
What is that? This January. Prepare to witness.
What do you want?
The most frightening 3D motion picture event with terror through the screen.
Seems like this is something they've been discussing for a couple of years now as the future of the film going experience. It makes it more of an event, and I know you have Cameron's picture at the end of the year, and goodness knows what he's up to, but that's another 3D project. Do you find that this is, we're going to be seeing more and more of this technology in future films when it fits?
I think the technology has come such a long way since the 80s, and I really think that, you know, distributors and studios are going to work toward making this technology more prevalent in the future, just because, you know, it's in their interest to keep people in the theaters, and I think it's the kind of technology that's very hard to duplicate in the home environment. So that's their way of looking at it, but I find as a filmmaker, it's a wonderful way to immerse yourself in the filmmaking, you know, in terms of being an audience member. You get fully immersed in it. And it's quite different. I mean, I found it quite addictive looking at the dailies, looking for shots that could really enhance the 3D. It was a really wonderful sort of journey from starting out knowing very little about it and then experimenting with it, and then by the end having a really good connection with the 3D and enjoying the process of finding those shots that are specifically more interesting in 3D, and then working toward making more of them and making them fit with the story, and also the scares and jolts of the film.
Yeah, and the other side of this is the digital technology, and obviously that's arrived. There's no question about that. You've worked on both film and digital, obviously. Tell me about the benefits of digital, and if there's anything still missing from that technology that you can't get from anything except film.
Well, I think the digital technology has come such a long way in the recent years. The Red camera was one of the camera systems that we used for the 3D. We'd have two Red cameras on a sled that would record each eye. And those cameras, I think, have wonderful interfaces. They produce a really terrific look and natural skin tones. And they were very user-friendly, very, very well-developed. And since the time that we shot the film, they've come even further. I really think there's been some significant enhancements in those cameras, the Red ones, since the time we shot Bloody Valentine. The other cameras we had were very, very small and allowed us to move at great speed. Still very good cameras. They lacked a certain amount of ability to judge the image and massage it. So a greater challenge for me as a on the technical side in terms of being able to look at the dailies, what we're getting, and those kind of things. But together, the two systems gave us the tools we needed to do great shots, to move the camera. We couldn't have done it without either system. We needed both to make it work. The drawbacks maybe a little bit in quality. I still think film has a wonderful look to it. Sometimes the quality of the image would be a little bit different from film. I think film is more forgiving and has a greater latitude range still than digital cameras do. And I also think speed. The sensors on these cameras are slower than your average film stock. You could find a Kodak film stock that would be maybe 500 or an 800 ASA if you push it to stop, whereas these sensors are running more in the 250 range. So the light level also required for 3D is much higher because you're taking both cameras and putting them through a 50-50 mirror. So one camera bounces off the front side of the mirror, the other one shoots through, and so you lose a stop on each camera right there. So the combination of a slower sensor and the light loss with the mirror, you know, puts you down more in the 100 ASA range as opposed to 500 or 800 with film. So there's lots of trade-offs, lighting challenges, and judging challenges in terms of the digital equipment still.
Yeah. Where did this come from, your love of cinematography? When did that start for you?
I think when I was six, my parents had a Super 8 camera. They'd always film us at every Christmas running down the stairs, you know, running into the living room, opening presents, that kind of thing. And one year, my father, for whatever reason, decided to give me a roll of Super 8 film to shoot, and I took it and, you know, started to do what many other kids who have become future filmmakers started to do and shoot their friends. I shot my friends playing in various situations, Star Trek, Star Wars, these kind of things, drawing lasers on the film, animating plasticine, and it went on from there. And it was really a love at first sight kind of thing for me as a child. And then, you know, later on in high school and college, I diverted toward economics and stockbroking, but only for a very short time. And then I quickly realized my heart wasn't in it, and I wanted to do filmmaking. So I jumped in and pursued that without knowing much about it.
Were there particular photographers' works that inspired you and you clung to?
I think, you know, over the years, there's been so many films that have been inspiring. I think when I was younger, a film like The Changeling, I really, really enjoyed that film. And I don't think when I was younger I was as aware of the cinematography as a specific element. I just think the look of the shots and the technology behind them as well, I've always found fascinating. I don't know if there's any one particular person or genre that I'm interested in. I think it's a broad range of sort of the art of cinematography as a whole that I found fascinating.
But you've worked in all these different genres, but you're particularly prolific as a cinematographer in the horror genre. It seems. Is that a genre that you've always particularly liked? You mentioned The Changeling.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that gives it away right there if I enjoyed The Changeling early on. I definitely do enjoy, I wouldn't say that, I don't know if it's the horror genre so much or psychological horror, as it were. Science fiction, I love, Blade Runner, and I remember seeing that film in the theater and just being in awe of what that cinematographer had done. And, so I guess definitely between science fiction and I also love political thrillers, though, so maybe early on I had a draw toward one or the other. But I guess I find that if you do something and people like what you've done, you'll get more of them. You get offered more of those kind of films.
Right.
So it's a little bit of both. I mean, I certainly enjoy the genres I work with, but then now and again you get to do a comedy, and that's really great as well.
Well, some of the movies or some of the genres that you just mentioned, the camera has the opportunity a lot of times to play a more active part. What's your take on that? Do you think that the camera should be another character in the scene? Or just observe? I know different DPs have different kinds of philosophies about that.
Yeah, I really believe that hopefully the camera movement is motivated by something that's going on in the scene, and ideally you're not just moving the camera for the sake of moving it. But at the same time, I've certainly broken that rule many times. I think it depends on the project and the audience expectation. I really enjoy moving a camera, and I think if it's done for the right reasons, that's always the best case scenario. Hopefully, like I say, it's not just moving for the sake of moving. If the actors are stationary and swirling around in circles for no reason, I'm not a big fan of that kind of thing. But I certainly do enjoy camera movement. I mean, if you see a David Fincher film, sometimes the camera's just dolling straight in, and there's certain aspects to camera movement that are quite wonderful. So,
right.
Yeah.
So tell me about the relationship with the director. And first of all, if there are, because especially with My Bloody Valentine, the original film was many years ago. Do you go back to that film with the director, or is that irrelevant to what you're trying to accomplish with this one?
I think it's very relevant as a starting point. Patrick Lussier, the director of My Bloody Valentine 3D, and I had worked two times previously together, and I think we both felt like we really understood each other, and we collaborated very, very well. He comes from an editing background and is a very strong director, and at the same time he's very open to ideas and loves the idea of collaboration. And I like to bring him a whole table full of ideas and let him pick and choose the ones that he sort of feels are best. So we did watch Bloody Valentine, the original, 81, separately, but we did talk about our feelings about it and what we wanted to do. One of the things that I liked about it is it has, and with the early 80s horror films, late 70s, they kind of have a look and a feel that's a little bit more grungy. And I was concerned at the beginning that this film, being a digital film, would look too clean and pristine, and I think somehow we were able to keep that look in it. But I think in terms of that particular film, we used it as a starting point, but Patrick knew he wanted to make a film that had rich in characters and also had a good plot storyline would carry through more than just having gore. And there's certainly elements of that film that we wanted to use, like the idea of finding somebody in a Well, there's a few ways that people are killed. And let me just say, there's a few ways that people are killed in that film that we've also taken in and used, and a few sets that we've used in the new film as well.
Yeah. Well, that film has really grown in cult status over the years. That's known as one of the best films of its genre at that time, which is fantastic. Have you watched this with an audience yet?
Yes, I did recently watch it with an audience, and I think people are quite surprised at what they see. And
yeah.
I think actually people this time around, as opposed to Friday the 13th, they find the 3D works very well and is very immersive, has an immersive quality, and that once you start to get into the film and get past the title sequence, you get into that and you forget about the fact that you're wearing 3D glasses and that the film's 3D, and you just fall into the filmmaking, you know, the watching of the film and the enjoyment of that, and get totally immersed by it. That's what people had said afterward.
You've also worked as an action photographer and an additional cinematographer on a lot of big blockbuster movies like I Am Legend and several of them. What does that entail?
Typically, we're doing the action sequences in the film, things that the first unit director and cinematographer have to, for various reasons, usually financial, hand over to another team, and we specialize in setting up and working with the first unit director team to get them exactly what they want in terms of the action sequences of the film. For I Am Legend, for instance, we shot the Mustang opening driving sequence, and as well portions of the attack of the vampire creatures later on, and other bits and thoughts. There's another sequence on the dock that we shot portions of, and I really enjoy doing action units. I'm one of the few people, I think, who's actually lucky enough to bounce back and forth between first unit cinematography gigs and relatively large scale action cinematography.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in my position tend to specialize in one or the other. A first unit cinematographer might not want to go back and do second unit action stuff, and vice versa. The action guys kind of tend to specialize in that and focus on it. And
right.
For me, I enjoy both. I mean, I think it's a great way to learn and be creative on another level. I mean, I think the action stuff is very visceral, and I certainly try to bring those skills that I learn and while doing those kind of projects to the first unit cinematography sequences I do as well. So I just enjoy both kinds very much. I mean, there's a certain energy that comes to shooting stunts and action, and a certain amount of strategic guesswork, I think, that goes into that. And
right.
It's a completely different vibe when you're doing first unit work with actors, and I think both are awesome.
How much contact and collaboration do you have with the actors when you're shooting them?
I try to hang back at the beginning of when they're blocking a scene, let the director and actors work things out. But I mean, I'm there every step of the way, and depending on the director you're working with, some ask for or look for more creative support in certain areas, and others don't want, need, or require, or aren't interested. And I've worked with a full range of different directors, and I respect all of their choices either way. A lot of people sort of look for some collaboration in terms of the staging of the scene within the room or the set that you're in, and working with the actors a little bit. What I'll tend to do is watch what they do and see if I can bring some things to the table that might enhance the scene, that might open up some opportunities, because in the end we're not doing a stage play. We are trying to make it work for a camera and put the best version of it and put the audience perspective in the most interesting place for every given moment in the film. And
yeah.
So I work with a lens and a finder, and I try and find interesting angles and things that will help tell the story in the best way possible while working with the director and the actors. So I'll get involved with them, but not in the sense of performance.
Right, right. Is there a particular genre or kind of project that you're dying to take on?
Well, I mean, I guess I've always wanted to do a terrific political thriller, something like that, or I really am intrigued by politics. I think something set outside of North America would be very interesting as well. Like, I've done a lot of work in North America, and I'd love to do some more travel with work as well. So I'd say somewhere in those two are opportunities that I haven't quite had as much of yet as I'd like to do, but also just trying new things, trying new kinds of projects, and certainly trying 3D was a wonderful adventure. So any kind of new adventure, I think I'd be open to that.
That's it for this episode of the Movie Geeks United Art of Cinematography series. You can find additional episodes from our series at moviegeeksunited.net/art of cinematography.